Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I don't know.
What do you think? East Coast is like a mix between Wisconsin, Canadian, tough guys. There's a lot of you knows going on.
I'm sorry, did you say Canadian tough guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that tale? What is Canadian tough guy?
Just their lingo. They always say, you know. Oh, don't you know?
Yeah, but I don't take that as tough.
Well, before we get in any more you knows, let's talk about last week, JD. We had a pretty fun episode. We did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. What was your feedback on the episode?
A lot of love for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I know fans came out for kind of going to end the holiday tradition of what at least meant for me. It was your first time through, and I know it's a Thanksgiving tradition for you, but nothing but fans, love, and adoration for what I think was a fantastic episode. I was worried about it, but it turned out really well.
I agree. And can I just add to that? It's definitely going to become a tradition because I went out and bought the DVD 30 minutes after I got done watching it. So, yeah, $2. That's a steal right there. Of course, it's used. I hit up the old disc replay. Yeah, it's a really fun movie. We got a lot of feedback. We appreciate you guys giving us that feedback. And you can do that on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Everything is at Back in Time Pod. You can also shoot us an email at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. And always support our sponsors over at Five Finger Tees. You can use promo code 5OFF at checkout and save some money on some cool t-shirts and hoodies. Check them out, fivefingertees.com. All right, man. Well, let's get into some Rocky. This is going to be fun. So Rocky is a 1976 American sports drama film directed by John G. Avildsen and both written and starring Sylvester Stallone. It tells the rags-to-riches American dream story of Rocky Balboa, an uneducated but kind-hearted working-class Italian American boxer working as a debt collector for a loan shark in the slums of Philadelphia. Rocky, a small-time club fighter, gets a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. The film also stars Talia Shire as Adrian, Burt Young as Adrian's brother Paulie, Burgess Meredith as Rocky's trainer Mickey, and Carl Weathers as the champion Apollo Creed. The film, made on a budget of just over $1 million, was a hit, earning over $225 million at the box office. Of course, if you want to hear more about that, go back into our archives, check out the teaser trailer where we break that down, along with critic response and everything else you need to know about the production side. The film also went on to win 3 Oscars, including Best Picture, and the film received many positive reviews for Stallone as the major star. In 2006, the film was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Rocky is considered to be one of the greatest sports films ever made and was ranked as the second best in the genre by the American Film Institute, only to be beaten by Raging Bull. JD, I think that's a good place to stop and debate a little bit here. What's your best boxing movie of all time?
Rocky
3, okay. You like the Clubber Lang version. I can get with that. I like that one.
I will say Raging Bull, while I do acknowledge that film, the 2 times I've tried to watch it, I've fallen.
Okay. I'm with you on that. It's let's get into a little bit of the production. Stallone wrote the screenplay for Rocky in 3.5 days, shortly after watching the championship match between Muhammad Ali and Chuck Wepner that took place in the Ridgefield Coliseum in Ohio, March 24, 1975. Wepner was TKO'd in the 15th round of the match by Ali, with few expecting him to last as long as he did. In fact, he actually at one point scored an unofficial knockdown, which has been argued that it was a bit of a trip, but basically, he punched Ali, and Ali fell right after the punch. Whether he stepped on his toe or not, the man landed on his backside, so he went down. Despite the fact this match was motivated by Wepner and Ali, Stallone has argued that it's not the inspiration for the script, and Wepner filed a lawsuit, which they settled out of court for an undisclosed amount. JD, I don't know how much you know about the Wepner-Ali fight. I'm happy to give more info. Do you know any background into that? And do you think it's based off of the story that I'm mentioning?
No, I'm uneducated on that. Wrote out.
So Wepner was like a journeyman fighter, lost a lot of fights, got his shot at the biggest fight of his career, basically went the distance, except got knocked down and KO'd in the very last round in the closing minutes. And then, you know, he was a guy that like would bleed all over the place. Does it sound like anybody familiar? It kind of sounds like Rocky.
Some clarity.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. I think Stallone took a lot of that from Wepner. And then I think he mixed in some Rocky Marciano, obviously the name. Also his fighting style. I think he has a little bit of Muhammad Ali and Apollo Creed, which would go back to the Wepner fight again. There's a lot of similarities. I think Wepner, I didn't do any research on this, but I think he got a pretty nice payout. I think he had a couple million dollars to kind of shut his yapper and move on with his life. Of course, Stallone has made, I don't know, a couple billion dollars off of this movie. I'm sure, assuming a couple million probably was no big deal for him to be like, okay, here you go. Yeah, your fight was cool. I liked it. I wrote a script that was different, but here's your money. All right, so that'll wrap it for the intro. We'll take a quick little break here, and we'll be back on the other side, and we might have a special guest. And if we don't, I'm going to cut this. You guys will never hear that. We'll be back in a minute.
Wait a minute, what are you doing, Don?
I need fuel.
Yeah.
What?
How about you give us yours?
Get out of here! Don't you ever interrupt me while I'm conducting business. Move your little chicken ass. Let's get you. You lay off that pet shop game. Women weaken legs.
Yeah, but I really like this girl, you know?
But let her train you!
All right, welcome back from the break, and we are ready to jump into some Rocky. We are joined tonight by a special guest. We have Pat from the Paranormal Pativity Podcast. Pat, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Great to finally be on with you guys.
Yeah, it's exciting to get you on here. I know we've gone back and forth on Twitter, and I've followed your show, and it sounds like you've watched some of our episodes, which is cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's exciting to... meet somebody new. We have like 10 minutes of bonding time, and then we're going to go through a whole hour-long episode. We'll see how this goes. So, Pat, tell us a little bit. How'd you get into podcasting, man? I know you've had your show for a little while now.
Yeah. Well, I actually started podcasting around 2009. I started with another friend doing a video game podcast. And over the years, that kind of faded out. I mean, we still get together once in a while to record an episode, but my co-host is really not reliable.
Gotcha.
And in the midst of doing that podcast, I had Brian from the Terrible Terror come into co-host, and we were just the banter that we had going back and forth. We just decided, you know what, we should start our own podcast, and then we started the It Be Like That podcast. And we used to record like every week, and then it was just getting too much for me. So I said, let's switch to every 2 weeks. And that's when he started the Terrible Terror.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what? I've been wanting to do my own thing. My own podcast, and I really like paranormal stuff. So that's when I started the Paranormal Pativity podcast, which kind of makes me laugh because I've always been the co-host. Like, I've always let someone else have the rings. I've never been the guy that just focused and doing all the talking.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to my episodes, you can tell there's a few times I'm just like, I start to muddle and I lose my thoughts sometimes, but I still make it through somehow.
I know that feeling, and by the magic of editing, our audience never hears that from me, but I definitely have some of that.
Yeah, I definitely that in there. Like on my last episode, I was reading, I did it about the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
And I was talking about it, and there was a part that it was a word I couldn't, I was reading it, and I was like, I could not even say it. So I just started spelling the word. I was like, here, you guys, you're not going to be able to figure it out by me trying to sound it out, so I'll just spell it.
That's awesome. Where can our audience listen to your show?
Yeah, you can find me on Spreaker and iTunes, and also on Spotify.
Okay.
And just simply looking up Paranormal Pativity, excuse me. And yeah, that's where you can find me at.
All right, awesome. Well, we kind of gave ours earlier in the episode, but what's your first memories of watching Rocky?
First memories of me being a little kid and watching it with my dad and my uncle.
Okay, put a year on that. What year do you think that is? I'm going to date you here.
I'm going to say, I think it was about 7 or 8. So I'd say 88, 89.
Okay, so you saw the movie early. Now, is this your favorite out of the Rocky films? I know we've got about 10 of them now, but where do you kind of place these movies?
Honestly, I gotta say my favorite Rocky is the third one. Rocky 3, with Hogan at the beginning, that whole scene was just awesome. And then Mr. T coming in, that was just, I mean, that whole movie was just great. I mean, that was one of my favorite ones.
All right, well, you have that in common with JD. And then, so you like number 3, and then what's after that one?
I would probably say the first one.
Okay.
And then I'd go Rocky 4 and then 2. Okay. 5 is kind of eh. And I actually never saw Balboa.
Okay. Yeah, so, Balboa's not bad. It's not the best. Creed is actually better than Balboa. I think you'll like Creed.
I do. Yeah, I got to see Creed. Like I was saying before we started, yeah, definitely check out Creed. But Balboa, though, I have seen some stuff from Balboa, and it has one of my favorite monologues in it when he's talking to his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole monologue I thought was really great.
Which, thanks to the hit show This Is Us, he's actually back in Creed 2. So they brought that character back from life because he had been gone for a couple films now, so... so that'll be interesting, but yeah, so let's jump into the movie, and we'll start right off here, and it's November 25th, 1975, and we have our first shot of Rocky fighting in a small town gymnasium. The fans are booing loudly. Rocky goes to the corner after the bell and says he's fighting like a bum. Rocky takes an intentional headbutt, which cuts him open, and he goes after Spider Rico, who knocks him after he actually knocks out Spider Rico after the headbutt, and he's the winner. On his way to the back, he taps a guy on the back and says, "Got a smoke?" Then the locker room, he puts on his Italian Stallion robe, and he's given $40.55 for his win, and his opponent, Spider, made $17 for the fight. JD, let's talk about Stallone here. This is, to me, his defining role as an actor, is it not?
It has to be. I mean, he is Stallone, and he is Rocky, and another This Is Us plug.
Now, on the street corner, we have some street performers singing. The guy who's hitting all the high notes here is Rocky's real-life brother, Frank Stallone, hitting the notes. Rocky goes by the guys and tells them they get better every single year. And then he arrives at his apartment where we meet his turtles. And he says, you guys should have seen me tonight. It was great. Pat, Rocky really has a fascination with animals throughout most of these movies here. Especially in the first film, though. But what do you think of this scene?
I thought it was just like, it just showed him like how basic and home he is. You know what I mean? He just got done with this fight. He won. He got his $40. And now he's at home with his turtles and his pet fish, too.
Pet fish. Yeah, which was he? Spartacus? I forget his name.
Yeah, it was something like that, like Colossus. Or
yeah. He's like, you guys want to see him? And then he brings over the little tiny fish tank. It's funny. So he does some self-reflecting in the mirror before he curls up in the bed for the night, putting a piece of ice on his head to fix the cut. Next day, Rocky enters the pet shop and we meet Adrian for the first time. Let's take a listen here to Adrian and Rocky in their first face-to-face meeting.
Fine. Hey, how you doing, killer? How's the turtle food this week?
Fine.
Me, I'm kind of aggravated, you know?
I'm sorry.
It's your fault. I'm just kind of aggravated. You know, you want to hear about it?
I'll tell you somebody don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, how you doing, Gloria? Good. You know, the last turtle food I got here had more moss in it than flies. You know that, Adrian? And these moths, they get caught in the turtle's throat right about here in his paw, right? I got to smack them on the back of the shell. What do you think they get? Huh? And they get what? Huh? Come on. Show shot. Your show shot. What do you think?
They're starting with bad jokes, really, huh?
Well, no, I'd say betting jokes ain't so easy sometimes.
No, no,
no
one
would
joke.
Hey, how's my buddy doing today? Yo,
JD, do you remember this scene?
Yeah, it's the first an awkward interaction between Rocky and Adrian before Adrian really sort of comes into her own. She doesn't say much. She doesn't really look at the camera. She's so timid here. It's almost uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, she's definitely very, very shy. You can tell that right away. And he's doing his best. I mean, you do a pretty good Rocky, JD. How would you give me a little Rocky here trying to pick up Adrian in the pet shop?
Hey, yo, Adrian. No, I don't know. You know, maybe later we'll go do something. You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll do it. I don't know.
I love it. We also see Buckus here in this scene. Buckus was Stallone's real dog at the time. And kind of similar to the movie where he doesn't have the pet at first, and then he gets him later on, spoilers. But that happened in real life where he had to actually sell the dog. And then when he sold the script for Rocky, he went back and bought him from the shop. Huh. So that's kind of an interesting fact there. We go to the loading dock next, where Rocky's collecting some debt. He tells the guy if he doesn't pay him some, the boss says, I gotta break your thumb. And, you know, I'm not emotionally involved, you understand? The guy gives him $130, which is about $70 light. And the guy begs him not to tell Gazzo. Pat, is there a better loan shark name on the planet than Gazzo?
No, I think that's the top one right there. I always laugh when he says, yeah, don't tell Gazzo. I was like, man, what kind of name is that? And the other thing I liked about that, too, was how he's like, come on, man, I'll just wrap up my hand like you broke it.
Yeah, I'll fake it. He'll trick thumb. Yeah, that's good. So we go into the car next with Gazzo. His driver, kind of a jerk to Rocky. But I like that Gazzo, he's a little hot at Rocky for not breaking the guy's thumb like he asked. He says it makes him look bad, but you know, he likes Rocky. You can tell he's got a little bit of a sweet spot for him, and he just tells him, hey, next time if I tell you to do it, make sure you do it, all right? So we arrive next at the gym to find out that Rocky no longer has a locker. Mike, who works at the gym, warns him that Mickey's in a bad mood. And Rocky says, well, so am I. Let's listen to a clip here with our first shot of Mickey.
Inside working with Dipper. He's in a bad mood.
So am I.
How you feeling?
What are you, a doctor or something?
You got problems today?
Never mind my problem. What's your problem?
My problem is I've been talking to your man, Mike. I want to know how come I've been put out of my locker.
because Dipper needed it. Dipper's a contender. He's a climber. Do you know what you are?
What?
You're a tomato.
Yeah, let's face it. I run a business here, not a goddamn soup kitchen.
Did you fight last night?
Yeah.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won KO in a sec.
Yeah, who'd you fight?
Spider Rico.
He's a bum.
You think everybody I fight is a bum?
Well, ain't they? You got heart, but you fight like a goddamn ape. Nothing special about you. You never got your nose busted. Well, leave it that way. That's as good as what's left of your mind.
Hey, you know, Mick, I think I'm gonna go take a steam. You know why? Because I did real good last night, and you should have seen me.
Big kids.
You should have seen me, too.
Hey, kid. You ever think about retiring?
No.
You think about it.
JD, what do you like about the setup here of Rocky losing the locker from a writing standpoint?
It puts a lot of stakes to Rocky's character, and it encompasses it in such a way that it's a small loss for him. It's losing a battle in the giant scope of a war. It's the first trip down a hill that'll lead Rocky down a path of either destiny or failure. And I personally love that we continue to just call people bums. Everyone's a bum. You're a bum.
Yeah, tomato. A tomato can. Yeah, just, I love Mickey's voice. I mean, how many, you think he smoked all the cigarettes in the world?
He's a few short of a pack, but no, he's done his due diligence.
Well, you got to remember, he used to be Penguin in the Adam West Batman, so he always had a cigarette in his mouth.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, good. That's why you're on here, Pat. Well done, sir. I completely forgot he's Penguin. I only think of him as Mick.
Well, I think of him for three roles. Mick, the Penguin, and then the dad and grumpy old man.
Yes.
Or the grandpa.
Yeah. The little horny old man. Still trying to get after it. I love it.
He's fantastic in the Twilight Zone. He's in an episode in the original series.
Yeah, he's in a ton of stuff. All right, so we cut next to Rocky going over to the pet store again, and he's trying to offer Adrian to walk her home. He says, you know, it's cold out. If I were you, if I had the money, I'd grab a cab. You know, lots of creeps out there, you know? He says he's going home to make up a joke, and he's going to tell her tomorrow. She tells him goodnight, and then on the way home, Rocky stops by a bar. I love the fact that on his way into the bar, he picks up the drunk, brings him into the bar, and sets him on the table. He's like, you got a new friend. It just and then inside the bar, he's asking for Polly, who's in the steam room. A girl at the bar asked about his eye, and he says it was from a fight. And he's like, you know, I did real well. You should have seen me. He says this throughout the entire movie. I love that he keeps telling people, you should have seen me. You should have seen me. Rocky yells, yo, Polly. And he says that every night, every morning, he passes by his sister, Adrian. He tells her a joke, but he gets nowhere. He asks if he needs a Cadillac to be able to connect with her. Polly tells him that she's not sharp, she's a loser, she's pushing 30, and he's like, hey, I'm pushing 30. She keeps it up, she'll die alone. Rocky tells him to relax, and then Polly says, you caught me in a bad mood, I'm pissed off. Rocky says, you're always pissed off. And then we have our first shot of Apollo Creed on the TV. Rocky actually compliments Apollo and says, the man's champion of the world, what have you ever done? Pat, what'd you think of this scene here? Our introduction to Polly and a little bit of Creed.
Really good, because like it's funny because with Polly, and well, you'll get more of it obviously when we get further in there. But like Polly reminds me of my brother so much. Like really, like he's one of those guys that expects the world to hand him something.
Yes.
Like even in that scene, he's complaining about. You know, I could have got married and did it. Like, he just expected, like, what? He's one of those people that's like, you have it good. Why don't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to get hired by Gazzo, too.
So the whole time. Yeah, let me do that. I can collect money. And then, the introduction of Apollo on the screen. That's one thing I thought was kind of funny, too. Like, he's sitting there telling everybody, oh, you know, don't be a thinker. Don't be a stinker. You stink when you do sports. Because you sweat so much, but you're walking around with all fancy clothes and your fancy wife and this big entourage, and you're telling people, yeah, you don't want to do this. There's no money in this.
Rocky agrees, though, when he's like, you're be a thinker, not a stinker. Rocky's like, yeah, that's true. Man's got a point.
And then, like you were saying, like how many times he said, "You should have seen me. You should have seen me." Did you count how many times he said the same thing he said about Paul? You're always mad. Like he said that to Mick too. He's always mad.
Yep.
He said it like.
So on the way home, Rocky runs into young Marie. Of course, if you haven't watched the entire Rocky series, she makes her way back into the series with Rocky Balboa. He's given her some advice here and says, you know, you use dirty words like that, you get no respect. Guys don't give you respect. You understand? If you have to use a bad word, I apologize here, but you could be a whore. And he starts lecturing her all the way home. He says, you hang out with nice people, you get nice friends. You hang out with yo-yo friends, you get yo-yo friends. You understand? And as he goes to leave, she goes, hey, Rocky. Yeah? Screw you, creepo. JD, first off, screw you, creepo. What do you think of this scene?
I like that we get the resurgence of the word creepo, creepy, because, you know, Rocky's warning Adrian of that there's so many creeps out in the street. Here's Rocky being accused of being a creep, right?
Yep.
And it's just, I try to position myself on the streets of Philly to see this. He's a leg buster. He's just a gorilla for the mob, the mafia. He's a great guy that everybody loves, unless you owe Gazzo money, in which case he's going to break your thumbs. Huh? A little thumb break, huh? he means so well. Like, you can't help but think of him to be like a Harrison Brewer kind of a guy that just is a head full of rocks and a heart full of gold.
Yes. Very, very good comparison. Nobody gets that reference, but I do. Next, we meet Apollo Creed. We find out his opponent has a fractured hand and he's going to have to pull out of the fight. Creed wants another opponent as quickly as possible because they only have 5 weeks. Let's listen to the promoter in Creed going back and forth here.
Of every worthwhile contender, and they all say the same thing. 5 weeks just isn't enough time to get into shape.
Oh, shape nothing, man. They're afraid. Hell, they know everybody in the world's gonna see this fight and none of them got a prayer whipping me. So they're making excuses so they don't have to be the chump to get whipped in front of the whole civilized world.
All I can say is I'm a good promoter. I've promoted fights in every goddamn country in the world and I've broken my ass over this. But I don't know what the hell else to do.
I did. Without a ranked contender, what this fight is going to need is a novelty. This is the land of opportunity, right? So Apollo Creed on January 1st gives a local underdog fighter an opportunity. A snow white underdog, and I'm going to put his face on this poster with me. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm sentimental. And a lot of other people in this country are just as sentimental, and there's nothing they'd like better than to see Apollo Creed give a local Philadelphia boy a shot at the greatest title in the world on this country's biggest birthday. Now, that's the way I see it. And that's the way it's going to be.
Pat, what'd you think of this scene?
Well, it's funny because he's trying to talk about how I'm sentimental, or it's going to be great to give a local boy a chance, but, like, deep down, you know, he knows it's going to be a pushover fight for him. It's just so he can get a fight in, he can beat up someone, make himself look good. And, you know, it's a nobody, right? So, you know, hey, we gave a local boy a chance, couldn't do it.
Right. So next we have Gazzo and Rocky. They're talking, and Gazzo is asking about his date with Adrian. He gives him $50 and tells him to take his girl out and have a good time. Rocky's like, hey, how'd you know her name? He's like, you don't think I hear things? A lot of canaries around here. The driver says, hey, remember what I said? Take her to the zoo. JD, obviously this wouldn't fly in the PC era of today, but what'd you think of this scene?
Take her to the zoo. Again, I really struggle with who Adrian is up to this point. Because being that she's such a quiet character, she's so shy, she's so timid, that when you get a line like this, you can't help but think, oh, did I misinterpret who she is and a lot of her character, which I think throughout the series, we learn a lot about her. She grows to be such a strong female presence, both in Rocky's life and in the franchise. But yeah, lines like this and dialogue like this, they don't really fly. They don't hold water anymore.
Next, Apollo and his trainer, played by the late Tony Burton, are thumbing through the bios and pictures of all the local fighters when they stumble across Rocky Balboa. Apollo says he loves the name Italian Stallion. The promoter says he's never heard of him. Apollo says it's the name Italian Stallion. The press will eat it up. Think about who discovered American, an Italian. What would be better to get it on with one of its descendants? Apollo's trainer says, nah, he's a southpaw. I don't want you messing with no softball. Southpaw. Apollo says, southpaw nothing. I'll drop him in three. Pat, what do you think of this scene?
That's, once again, it's just like that overconfidence, you know, and thinking that a guy named the Italian Stallion, who's a nobody, and all the press is going to bring him. And like I said, it's just him just being overconfident.
Rocky and Polly are arriving at his house next for Thanksgiving dinner, and Rocky's asked him several times before they get to the house, does she know I'm coming over? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, it's good, it's good. So they arrive. Adrian, first thing she says is, I didn't know you were bringing him over here. And then she gets mad. She's not ready to do this. She doesn't want to go on the date. And Polly's pretty mean to her here. He calls her a loser and says that she needs to get out of the house. Polly goes over to the oven, tosses the turkey outside into the alley, and that makes her cry. In the process of throwing it, though, he managed to pull off a leg, and he's eating it with a beer as he walks back into the living room. Rocky thinks he should just forget about it, but Polly insists, you know, just go be funny, go tell her a joke. So he knocks on the door, and he's like, hey, you know, it's Rocky, you know. You know, why don't we just hang out, you know, maybe we can get together, you know. And he says that about 100 times. She finally opens up the door. She's dressed and ready to go. JD, what do you think of this scene? You know?
It's very cringeworthy, isn't it? Like, you have a lot of sympathy for Rocky. I almost called him The Rock. He's not The Rock. You have a lot of sympathy for him. You realize he just is very intimately curious about who Adrian is. Like, there's a lot of genuine tenderness for his affection to her. And Polly, while completely unhinged, seems to be the only adult in this situation.
Very true. And he's going to go off the hinges here pretty soon in a couple scenes. But real quick, we love to talk food on this podcast. Pat, I'm a ham guy. JD's a ham guy. Where do you fall, turkey or ham on Thanksgiving?
I got to go turkey. Okay. I usually have ham for Christmas, so I gotta go with the turkey. Yeah. Barbecued it, though.
Oh, there you go. Got a barbecue. I like that. I tried it deep fried last year. That was the first time I've had that. Amazing. I was like, oh my God, you don't have to dry this out and make it horrible? This is good. Nice.
That's why I barbecue it. Keep it nice and moist.
So they arrive at an ice rink next. The guy tells Rocky they're closed. And Rocky says, hey, do me a favor, will you? You know, this girl, she's a little sick, you can see. I just need a couple minutes. The guy says, okay, 10 minutes, 10 bucks. Rocky tries to walk him down to 8. He won't budge. He offers 9. The guy's like, come on, 10 bucks. It's the holidays. So they get the ice. Rocky's kind of walking around. He's not wearing the skates because he says it's bad on the ankles. And he's explaining his boxing career and how he never got a big break. And he still fights, but, you know, now it's more like a hobby. And you know, he says, the trouble is, you know, I'm a southpaw, and throws off the timing, and nobody wants to ever fight a southpaw. So he says, and she's like, well, you never got your chance because you're left-handed? And he's like, yep, absolutely. So as they're skating, the guy is giving a minute-by-minute countdown, which cracks me up. He's like, 8 minutes.
Yeah, and
Rocky's trying to get in as much as he can as they're on the ice here, and he's just talking her legs off. Interesting fact, this scene wasn't actually meant to be an empty ice rink. It was supposed to be with everybody there and kind of crowded. But because the production had slowed down that day, they actually missed the ice rink being open. So it was closed down for the day, and they had to quickly rewrite the scene and go shoot it with an empty rink. And that's why there's nobody there. So kind of on the fly. JD, what'd you think of this scene here?
I kind of really like this scene for two reasons. It's sort of, you know, from a screenwriting perspective, it offers a dual perspective into, one, offering exposition to Rocky's background and his history, but at the same time, it frames it in a way that he's breaking the ice, pun, of this first date, where he's indulging her into who he is. So he's not just telling the audience about what he's gone through and the trials and tribulations that he has encountered as a boxer. He's telling Adrian, which is kind of a hard thing to do from a screenwriting standpoint, where you often find yourself just trying to vomit details so the audience can keep up with where the story is. But I think what Sloan does here fantastically is he tells it to Adrian instead, and the audience is still watching it, which is, it's very subtle, but it's done very correctly.
On the way home, they're making small talk. They arrive at Rocky's place, and before they go in, Rocky mentions that he's had 64 fights. You know, look at this nose. Never been broke. Really proud of that. So he opens up the door to his place, invites her in. She's very apprehensive at first, but she does go inside. Rocky makes some small talk. He shows off the pets, and she's like, I know, I sold you the pets. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, your first day, yeah, I bought these turtles and the rocks. And he just goes on and on. It's safe to say here, though, Rocky's looking the beak. Pat, what do you think of Rocky's game here with Adrian?
I mean, hey, first date, shy girl who barely wants to talk to him, and he got her in the apartment, and he's feeling like he can go, you know, the distance, all 12 rounds with her.
I mean, I don't know if he went the distance. He hit a double, though, at least a double. I mean, who knows what happened, if it jumped the wall or got stuck in the corner, we don't know.
Well, the moan that right before they switched the scene made you think something else might happen.
Yes.
Real quick, I was going to say about the ice skating scene real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Did
you find it kind of funny that he tried to haggle that money down when he got a free 50 bucks?
Yeah, he got 50 bucks from Gazzo and then tried to Jew the guy down to 8 bucks. That is awesome.
I'm sorry, Kyle, did you just say Jew the guy down?
Yeah, you wanted to be politically correct and not say take her to the zoo because she's retarded.
Yeah, I skipped that part. Mickey tells Rocky in the next scene that somebody stopped by looking for him. So they're probably looking for sparring partners for Creed. Rocky says, oh yeah, when were they here? He's like, I don't know, a little bit ago. All right, yeah, they're probably looking for sparring partners for Creed. He's like, I just said that! Freaks out on him. Let's listen to Mickey blowing up on Rocky here.
I said that before, you dumb dangle.
You know, I've been coming in for 6 years, and 6 years you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I want to know how come.
You want to know?
I want to know!
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Because you had the talent to become a good fighter. And instead of that, you became a leg breaker. Some cheap second-rate loan shark.
To live in?
It's a waste of life.
JD, what'd you think of this scene? Mickey really giving it to Rocky here.
I like it because it finally gives some perspective to why Mickey hates Rocky so much. And Rocky is such like a dynamic character, but at the same time, like he's almost an anti-hero in that he is just a henchman for Gazzo.
Right.
He's a leg breaker. He's not a good guy in any way, shape, or form. Like, just because he doesn't break dude's thumbs earlier on doesn't mean that he didn't break some other guy's thumbs another time.
Okay, you're going south on Rocky. I don't know if I like this.
Hey,
yo, Adrian, yo, south on nobody, yo, you know what I'm saying, all is.
So Rocky arrives at Jurgen's office, and he starts to tell Rocky about a proposition that he has for him. And Rocky cuts off. He's like, I know you guys are looking for sparring partners, and I just want to say, I think I'd be a great sparring partner. And you know, Mr. Jurgen, I wouldn't take no cheap shots or nothing. And Jurgen's like, no, hold on. That's not why we brought you in here. Now, would you be interested in fighting Apollo Creed for the heavyweight championship? No. He says, you know, I fight in clubs, you know, he's the world champ. You know, this would be such a great fight, you know. Jurgen asked if he believes that this is the land of opportunity. Rocky says, yeah, well, Apollo Creed does, and he wants to prove it to the whole world by giving an unknown the opportunity of a lifetime. He picked you, Rocky. Don't let it pass you by. What do you say? So we cut to Adrian's house. Rocky's turning on the TV, and we see Apollo talking about Rocky. He says, if America has proved anything, it's that anyone can win on any day. Rocky gets called to the podium after Apollo gives him a couple pokes and cheap shots. Polly says, do me a favor, his lungs you punch out. Rocky says on TV that Creed is the best. He'll have to do his best that day and put on a good show. They say, you know, your pay is going to be $150,000 for this fight. What do you plan to do on it? He's just like, they're like, hey, you got no comment, do you? And then he ends with a shout out to Adrian. Pat, what'd you think of these scenes?
I just was cracking up the whole time, like especially like when he says the pay $150,000. You got Paulie rolling his eyes in the back of his head, and then he just had a show like he's just like that simpleton, like he's never been in the limelight,
right?
With the hey yo Adrian, hey Adrian, hi mom.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's got a little bit of like the Will Ferrell from that racing movie when he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, he's so awkward up at the podium.
Talladega Nights.
There you go. Shake and bake, baby. So, Paulie and Adrian have a little blow up before Rocky leaves. And before he leaves, he says, you know, I said that stuff on TV didn't bother me none. Well, it did. And he walks away. Next, he's with Gazzo, and he gives Rocky $500 for training. He says, you know, you've never had any luck, but I think this time Lady Luck is on your side. He takes the cigarette out of Rocky's mouth and tells him, hey, you're training. Come on. And before he leaves, Rocky runs over to see if he's going to be at the fight. And Gazzo says, ringside. Of course, I'll be there. JD, throughout the beginning of the film, we talked about this earlier. There's like a real lack of self-confidence that Rocky has, kind of a need for approval. Why do you think that's important to the storyline?
In any sport or any athlete has that sort of connection that they make with their coach, but Rocky doesn't have a go-to coach. He's been denied by Mickey. He's gone through the ropes of trying to impress everybody, but impressing nobody. Right. And so I can only assume that there's, you know, a prequel movie that can happen where, you know, Rocky falls under Gazzo's wing and he realizes, hey, here's somebody that finally likes me, that pays attention to me, and that compliments my work to the ribs and to the body. That it just seems like such a natural, easy way for him to fall into the influence of organized crime.
Yeah, that's a great point. And not only does he not get that from Mickey, but when he told him who he fought, I mean, Mickey like could not stop laughing. He's like, Spider Rico. Guy's a bum. He couldn't stop laughing. So yeah, that's a great point. Now we're back at Rocky's apartment. Mickey knocks on his door and he tells Rocky that, you know, what happened to you is just freak luck, kid. Rocky doesn't argue that. Mickey says, I'm here to warn you. You ain't gonna get another shot at the title. He says, what you need is a manager. And I know because I've been in this racket for 50 years. Rocky's listening here, but he's kind of disinterested. Eventually, he even goes into the bedroom area and turns his back to Mickey. And on the wall, we see a photo of Rocky Marciano. I don't know if you guys are boxing fans. Rocky Marciano, I believe, was 49-0 when he retired. One of the great fighters of his time. And he says,
Rocky Marciano. Every time we talk about boxing, some white man got to bring up Rocky Marciano.
So Mickey says, you know, you move like him. You got heart like him. Rocky says, but I ain't got no locker, do I, Mick? Mickey continues talking about Rocky, and he's just ignoring him for the most part. He's throwing darts. And Rocky says, hey, Mick, I needed your help like 10, 12 years ago, but you weren't interested. Mickey says, well, you should have asked. Rocky says, I did, but you didn't listen. He leaves the apartment, and Rocky finally comes out of his bathroom. He starts yelling balls. He's like, my house stinks. What about my prime, Mick? And he continues on for a couple minutes, just screaming as Mickey walks into the road and leaves the apartment. And then finally he stops and runs after him and gives him the job. So Mickey's going to be his manager. I thought this was a pretty powerful scene between these two guys. Pat, what'd you think of the scene between Mickey and Rocky?
I agree. I feel like they finally aired out all their grievances that they had, like, at that point, even though it was like Mick coming with a little bit of humble pie, trying to offer, you know, tell him, hey, I'll be your manager, let's do this right. And then Rocky finally snapping, like in the scene prior when Mick snapped on him, And it's like all their dirty laundry, all the stuff they kept inside was finally out. And Rocky realized, hey, I actually do need him, because he's gotten me this far in a way by all the training. And then I also feel like they realize, I mean, look how similar they are. How many times did Rocky pull out, hey, look at, I got a clip from what I was fighting. Yeah. You know, and then here comes Mick, you know, hey, look, this was me at this age. And hey, look at this fight here. He's doing it like they're like the same person, just in different eras.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They really are. And then the next day we hear, and this has become like an iconic Rocky scene here. He gets up, his alarm goes off, he walks over to the fridge, and he cracks about 4 or 5 eggs right into a drinking glass and just chugs it. I mean, this is 70s, boys. We have no CGI. I mean, he really just downed a bunch of raw eggs. JD, have you ever tried this?
Oh, you know I have.
Okay, how'd it go?
And one is very rough. Doing one egg, it's so slimy for him to, and it's 5 that he does.
Yeah.
Is just, and it's so funny to watch him as he gulps it down and it spills all over his chest and down his, dribbling down a little sausage down his jaw there. And it's just, you know, it's just horrible, but he puts on a brave face. I wonder how many takes this took them to do.
I feel like it was a one take and then a cut and then him going, just throwing up all over the place.
He's like, oh, I'm going to only do this once, so start filming.
Have you ever tried that, Pat?
Actually, I haven't.
Okay.
When I used to make protein shakes, I used to put raw eggs in them sometimes and mix it up. I never did a straight shot of raw egg.
The raw eggs I eat is cooked, yo. So...
I agree with that one.
Rocky goes outside, does almost zero stretching, and then starts running down the streets of Philly. As he's running, he's kind of punching in the air. We got this beautiful Bill Conti score playing in the background. Rocky climbs the steps at the Philadelphia Art Museum, now affectionately known as Rocky Steps. And these are legit. I was in Philly a couple years ago, ran the steps, about had a heart attack. And then went back down the steps and took a photo next to the Rocky III statue where Clubber Lang crashes the unveiling. So that's actually at the bottom of the Rocky stairs now. Pretty neat. We cut to the meatpacking center where Paulie works. Rocky's stopping by to talk with Paulie about Adrian, and they kind of argue a little bit, and Paulie punches the ribs of the meat. And then Rocky's like, let me go at this. And he just starts blistering these ribs. His hands are bleeding everywhere. And as he's about to leave, Paulie says, you know, if you do that to Apollo Creed, they'll put us in jail for murder. Pat, what do you think of this scene?
It was another just great, like, you know, like the other scene part, too, where he's hitting the ribs. Like, they're just sitting there arguing. And then he's like, Paulie's like, oh, you're busting the ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Paulie's accent, too. He's so good in this movie.
Well, and it's such a just a great scene of foreshadowing for what Rocky does to Apollo in the final scene.
Yes, it is.
True.
I like it. Adrian's taking care of Rocky's hands in the next scene. He wants to fool around a bit, or I'm sorry, she wants to fool around a bit, and he gets mad. He's like, hey, no, there's no fooling around during training. I want to be strong. JD, do you subscribe to the theory that women weaken legs?
No comment.
Okay. So
I don't know. Like, you know, growing up in sports throughout high school and college, you hear both sides of the story. And at the end of the day, you just have to be focused. And whether or not the women weaken the legs, I think it's a myth.
Yeah, it's. I think they actually did this on Mythbusters. I heard it on a podcast, might have been Joe Rogan's, and they brought that up. He's like, no, that's so stupid. He's like, if you don't ejaculate for 2 months. You're not going to have any testosterone because you're holding it all in. It's actually healthy for you to do that. He's like, I'm not saying like go have an orgy right before you're supposed to go play a football game or a UFC fight, but I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it might help your cardio.
Exactly. There you go. Gets the heart rate up. You're in good shape. So we've got some training footage next. Mickey's kind of fixing his balance issues. He ties his feet. So if he breaks the rope, then he knows he needs to get them back where they need to be. A couple of girls stop by to get an autograph, and Mickey snaps and tells them to get lost. And then he tells them, move your little chicken asses. And then he tells Rocky to lay off the pet shop dame. Women weaken legs. Rocky laughs and says, okay, women weaken legs, gotcha. So Rocky arrives back home next. Adrian has bought a present for him, and it's Butt Kiss from the pet store. So they have that nice little moment in the streets. And then we get a shot of Rocky running, and he's has a new training partner. Buckus is making the runs with him. He arrives at the meat plant, and Paulie's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of hit him with a little side door here. He set up a press, and they've come in the film, and Rocky's kind of mad at first, and then they kind of laugh as they're talking about Adrian and how she really likes him. And I love that during the interview, they have to stop the recording because the guy's like, hey, the meat guy is sticking his head in the shot again. Pat, what'd you think of this scene?
I feel like even though Paulie's older, Rocky looked at him like a little brother.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's always doing something and he's always getting mad at him. But the 2 seconds later, you know, he's like, I don't want to do no interview. And also he's like, all right, let's go do this. And then, like, you know, Paulie just having to do that whole stick his head out. I have to be in the scene. I set this up. Why aren't I not a part of it?
Right. Yeah, and there's a part at the end of the scene, too, where we see Apollo's trainers watching this footage on TV, and he's like, yo, Apollo, you need to come look at this guy. He means business. And Apollo's just like, oh, yeah, I mean business, too. Yeah. And he just goes back to, like, what he was doing. Interesting. He's not taking him very seriously. Paulie arrives home drunk in the next scene. And he overhears Rocky saying to Adrian that he doesn't know what Paulie wants from him. Let's listen to a clip here of Paulie and Adrian kind of going at it here.
This ain't no charity case. Get out of my house.
It's not just your house.
You're no friend no more. Get out of my house, I just said.
Don't talk
to me
like that.
Both of you get out of my house.
Yo. Hold outside, Paulie.
I don't want you missing, huh? And I don't raise you to go with this scumbag. Yeah, come on! Want to hit on me? Come on! I'll break both your arms so they don't work for you.
JD, Burt Young bringing the heat with this scene. What'd you think?
It's a little overacted. But
really? Wow.
You don't think so?
No, I think he's awesome in this. I mean, is it over the top? Yeah, it kind of calls for that, though. He's drunk.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, fine. He's drunk. Yeah. no, I love this scene. It's a great scene, and we get to see Adrian, I think, you know, take a big step in her character arc and what she's going through and what all of that Paulie represents to her and what Rocky means to her. And for us to be able to see finally just the shortcomings that Paulie is dealing with. And even so, as he's just bashing up like the pictures, like, is that not him in like a Marine's uniform that he just bashes up on that table?
It is. Good eye.
So it's like, you know, we have a guy who used to be something and now is nobody and now is best case scenario, which is him throughout the franchise, is just coasting on the coattails of Rocky. And at the best, he's in the shadow of his sister.
Hmm.
There's a lot of despair to be had.
It's deep.
I feel like his sister was like the one person he had control over. He doesn't have control over his life no more. He has control over Adrian, who's, you know, who he kept a quiet little mouth, and now she's completely, you know, changed being Rocky. Rocky's brought out her confidence and showing that she's not a loser, that she is somebody. And, you know, now that he can't control her, you know, he feels like his whole world's out of control, and he has no one to have under his thumb anymore.
So we cut to training next, and Mickey tells Rocky that he's going to be able to spit nails. You'll be able to eat lightning and crap thunder. Rocky goes to the bathroom, and he's going to take a quick shower. As they leave, Mickey's talking to the cut man. He's like, I think we got a winner here, this kid. And he goes to the body like no other. Paulie shows up, and he wants to talk to Rocky for a minute. He's kind of hit the bag a little bit. He says, you know, be all right if I, you know, made some money off your name. I know about advertisement. Rocky's like, what do you know about advertisement? But you know what, Paulie, if you can make some money off my name, go ahead. So we start this epic training montage next with Gonna Fly Now playing in the background. And as we see Rocky, he's really picking up his training regimen. He's getting stronger. He's doing one-handed push-ups. He's running the stairs. He's punching the meat. Pat, what'd you think of this montage?
I thought it was great. Great training scene. But one thing I think is funny is that he has I'm going to forget the dog's name again.
Buckus.
Buckus. He had Buckus. He started running with Buckus one time, and I think that dog said, shh, shh, I ain't doing all this.
I'm out.
Because you don't see him again running with him at all. Nope. Just Rocky.
We get to the night before the fight. Rocky is, I assume this is late at night. We don't really know. It's pitch black. He arrives at the arena. He goes inside the ring, and he sees this giant poster of Apollo Creed, and then he sees himself. And the promoter, Jurgen, shows up. He's like, what are you doing here, Rocky? Yo, Mr. Jurgen, they got it wrong. I'm wearing the white shorts with a red stripe, not red shorts with a white stripe. He's like, it really doesn't matter, does it? You're going to put on a good show. I know it. Interesting fact. What happened here was this was just an error by the people that run all the design and all the costumes. They designed it wrong, and they showed up the day of, and they're like, well, we can't do anything about it. So they had to rewrite the scene again and kind of make a little joke out of the fact that it really doesn't matter about his shorts being the wrong color. JD, what do you think about that?
No, that's kind of a cool little meta detail to sort of chime in there with, that it's just that happens, you know? It happens in every job, in every industry. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Accidents happen, and you know what? It doesn't matter.
I do like to be that person. Stallone walks in, he's like, what are we shooting today? Okay, I got this scene. He turns around, he's like, what's wrong with those shorts? Why are they red? What? Yeah, I'm wearing white shorts. Oh, shit. Well, too late. We already got this 40-foot poster. Can't change anything. And he's just got to go rewrite the scene.
Producers in a nutshell, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Nope, do matter. It.
So Rocky...
get the scene done.
Rocky arrives home. He sits on the bed and tells Adrian, can't beat him. I'm not even in this guy's league. It doesn't matter what he does. I was a nobody before. I'll be a nobody after. And it doesn't matter if I lose this fight. Nothing matters. He can open up my head. All I want to do is just go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I do it, when the bell rings and I'm still standing, I'll know I'm not just another bum from the neighborhood. Very emotional scene here. We even got some real tears from Stallone. Pat, what'd you think of this scene?
It just shows that, you know, here he's fight training this whole time. You know, you think he's ready for this fight, and then reality's starting to sink in. Like, wait a minute. I've never had a professional fight fighting the champion. This guy is undefeated. No one's ever gone the distance. That's what I want. And one of his biggest fears also is that his shorts are the wrong color.
So we're in the locker room next. Rocky and Apollo are going through all their preparations. Rocky kneels in prayer. And Mickey tells him it's time to go, kid. Rocky compliments Adrian, and he tells her not to go leave town. And right before he goes to leave, he goes, does this robe look too baggy? She's like, okay, good luck. Get out of here. So Rocky goes out to the ring. And Mickey tells him, I didn't train you to be no billboard. Rocky says, I did it for a friend. Paulie gets $3,000 and I get to keep the robe. Mickey's like, ah, shrewd. Rocky makes his way to the ring. And then Apollo makes his way to the ring in a float, dressed as George Washington, throwing silver dollars into the crowd. And the audience gets a kick out of it. They're cheering for him. This is really very David versus Goliath here. Rocky comments that he looks like a big American flag. Creed is shouting, Creed in three! Creed in three! JD, what do you think of the intro to the ring?
It's a fantastic comparison and juxtaposition between each of the characters, right? Like, we've seen and we've learned everything that humbles Rocky, and all we've seen about Apollo is, what is his catchphrase? Be a thinker, not a stinker.
Yep, that is his Creed in three, yep.
Creed in three and his three-piece suit.
So the fighters are introduced to the crowd. We see Gazzo in the audience. We see Paulie with his date, which cost him $200.
$250.
$250.
Yeah, remember, Paulie says 200, and she yelled out, $250.
I never heard her correct him. That's awesome. I got to go back and hear that. And he's like, how's the robe? And Rocky's like, it's baggy. He just keeps walking. So we see Smokin' Joe Frazier making his way into the ring to greet the fighters. Creed says he's next. They playfully kind of arm fight a little bit, and then they meet in the middle of the ring to face off. Creed again kind of messing with Rocky here, like, put your mitts up. Come on, let's go. And the announcers say they've never seen a fighter that concerned with his hair as he takes off his top hat. The fight begins. Creed begins to pump jabs right into Rocky's face. Rocky swings and misses wildly a few times. Apollo misses, and Rocky knocks him out with a huge left hook. The announcers say it's the first time Creed's ever been knocked down. Creed gets up at 7, and he starts to pour it on Rocky in the corner, but again, they go back and forth, and Creed is trash-talking. He tells him to calm down when they kind of lock up. Rocky gets knocked down, but he gets right back to his feet. As the round ends, Mickey says, your nose, it's broke. How's it look? It's an improvement. In Apollo's corner, they tell him that this guy doesn't know it's a show. He thinks it's a fight. You need to finish this guy now. So Apollo comes out firing in round 2, putting a hurting on Rocky. But towards the end of the round, Rocky starts to really tag him here. He's going to the body hard. The bell rings, and they have to pull Rocky off of him. Pat, what do you think of the first couple rounds here?
Yeah, it's great. In the corner, Apollo's corner sums it up perfectly with the, you know, he doesn't know he thinks this is an actual fight. So you better start realizing that it's an actual fight.
Yeah.
And Rocky's there. He's like that when he gets that first connection and knocks him down, he's just like, he's showing him, I'm here to do this. And you see the look on Apollo's face like, wait a minute, what the hell just happened?
He's like, I haven't been even training. What's going on here? Yeah. So, and we flash forward really quick here. So it's just a montage real quick. You see like the cue cards moving. It says round 7, round 10, round 12. And both fighters, I mean, they're getting the best of each other. They're back and forth. It appears that Creed is maybe getting the upper hand a little bit, but then we see him in the corner. His face is just swelled up like he's been stung in the face by 100 different bees. In Rocky's corner, Mickey tells him, you know, you need to stay down. He's been knocked down. We think the fight might be over here. But Rocky uses the ropes. He gets back to his feet right before the 10 count. And we cut over to Creed, who just takes this big inhale, looks at his corner. He's just like, God, what is keeping this guy up? So he comes back in to finish him. Rocky slips a punch and lands 4 hard uppercuts right to the ribs, breaking Creed's ribs as we go into the 15th and final round. In the corner, Rocky tells Mickey, you got to open my eye. I can't see nothing. Cut me, Mick. Both corners threaten to stop the fight. Creed says, you ain't stopping nothing. And Rocky tells him, if you stop it, I'll kill you. They start the final round. They're real cautious here of each other. They just kind of circle for a minute or two. I thought they were going to lock up like this was Andre versus Hogan at the dome. Apollo lands the first 1-2, and then Rocky slips the next combo, starts landing some bombs to the body, And he starts pouring it on here. Creed can hardly punch. He can't move. He's just holding his rib. Rocky lands a massive left hand as the bell rings. And they kind of embrace for a second. Apollo tells him, there ain't going to be no rematch. There ain't going to be no rematch. Rocky's like, good, I don't want one. And the ring fills up with both corners. And Rocky's yelling for Adrian. She makes her way to the ring. He's fighting off all these reporters. The announcers say, we have a split decision. One judge scores it 8-7, Creed. One judge scores it 8-7, Rocky Balboa. And then the final judge scores it 8-7 for Creed. Adrian makes her way into the ring and tells Rocky that she loves him, and the credits roll with a battered Rocky hugging Adrian in the ring. JD, what do you think about the ending of the film here and the fight?
You know, it's been a little while since I've seen this movie in its entirety, and I really feel like this last ending just happens way too quickly.
Sure.
Like, I felt like, you know, watching them go blow to blow, I feel like Chumbawamba needs to be playing, like, I get knocked down, I get up again. That doesn't happen. But, just waiting for that to happen. But I don't know. And then, to me, like, the ending is symbolic of what matters to Rocky. He doesn't want to win. He doesn't want to lose. He wants to go toe-to-toe the entirety. And he does. And his response is, and the crowd is echoing over his ears, like, he doesn't even listen. He doesn't care. Split decision, Apollo wins, I win. It doesn't matter. All that matters is, yo, Adrian!
Yeah. They save the winning for part two. There's definitely a lot more fighting in the sequel with the boxing and the back and forth. But, Pat, movie's 42 years old. How do you think this movie's held up over time?
I think it held up great. Like, to me, I always say there's certain movies, if you're into sports and you need motivation, there's certain movies to watch. I still say Rocky is one of the number one to watch. And it, to me, it held up. And to me, because it shows, even though that, yeah, he didn't win, but his main thing was, like you said, throughout the, how many times did he say it? You should have seen me. You should have seen me. But no one's like, everybody's like, fight all these low-ranked fighters. You know, you're a bum. Yeah. And his main thing was to prove I can go toe-to-toe with the best. And he did.
He did. And crazy to even say this, but 42 years later, we got a new sequel that's in theaters in 2 days.
Yeah.
This franchise is still freaking going. It's insane. So Creed 2 will be out, I believe, on Thanksgiving Day. I think it comes out a day early than normal. So, or at least it'll be out that night. But Pat, thank you so much for joining us on the episode, man. One more time, go ahead, plug your show and plug your Twitter. Let our audience know where they can find you.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And you can find me on Spreaker, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just look up Paranormal Pativity Podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ParanormalPat64. And you can email me if you have a story or if you want to be on a podcast to talk about your experience, just ParanormalPat64@gmail.com.
All right, awesome. Check out Pat. Follow the show. We're going to be off next week. I may post like an old episode or I'm working on an interview right now from a documentary. I'm hoping I get it. It's about Big Country Bryant Reeves, the old basketball player. So if I get the interview, I'm gonna get that on here. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But we'll be back first week of December with Scrooge. JD, real quick, tease it for us. What do you look forward to most when we discuss Scrooged?
So big shout out and a big thank you to everybody that voted on our poll to bring Scrooge to Back in Time Podcast. This is my go-to Christmas movie, and I'm looking forward to celebrating second Christmas with Back in Time Podcast with all of our viewers and listeners. That's going to be a fantastic episode.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And all, as always, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube, pretty much anywhere else you can get your podcast. You can follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can email us at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. But it's that time of the episode to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, return back to present day. Thanks for listening. See ya.
I get knocked down. I get up again. They're never gonna keep me down your injury.
Like that.